Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, hello, and welcome to your Friday edition of Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, Tegna, and our friends at the Odyssey Group. As the Locked On Podcast Network brings you shows dedicated to your favorite teams across all of your favorite sports every single day or thereabout, bringing you all the knowledge you need so you can be kept up to date and you can fan the way you want to without having to dedicate an undue amount of time to research yourself. If you don't have time to do the research, don't ever fear. You can just go to your favorite Locked On podcast show, like and subscribe on whatever platform you like to use, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, whatever. You can be kept up to date whenever a new episode drops. Don't stay out of the loop. Join the Locked On Podcast Network listenership and follow along, and you can fan the way you want to fan the Locked On Podcast Network, your teams every single day. Okay, so the Braves managed to win last night in what I would say was their best played game of the season. Wasn't their highest scoring. You know, they managed to score a lot more in that ill-fated Red Sox series, which we'll talk about. Never you fear. There's lots of things to talk about with that series. But this last night's game against the Cardinals, and yes, the Cardinals aren't a good team. They're really, really struggling offensively. But the Braves have been struggling everywhere. And last night, the Braves managed to put it all together for a full game. Charlie Morton was fantastic. And the Braves were able to win 4-0. You beat a team that you needed to beat in the Cardinals for as bad as their offense has been. They're over 500. So the Braves managed to beat a team that was over 500. Beat up on a former Brave, John Gant, and I just assumed that he was going to have a 10-strikeout performance. But the offense did their job. They performed very well. 8 hits on the night for them. Pushed across 4 runs. You got a homer from Guillermo Heredia, who went 2-for-3. He was starting to pick it back up a little bit after he'd kind of fallen off since coming back from injury. Got a lot of good stuff. You got a hit from William Contreras. Cunha got a hit, a walk, also got a steal. Ozzie Albies with the triple. Abraham Almonte continued his good work at the big league level. Overall, it was a very, very well-played game. As a matter of fact, Austin Riley, kind of one of the few that was riding the struggle bus yesterday, as Riley, Swanson, and Charlie Morton were the only starters. Really, you can say just Riley and Swanson were the only two that did not get a hit. Austin Riley was the only starter that did not reach base last night. So overall, fantastic performance from the offense. Charlie Morton, though, can't say enough about what Charlie did. He went out there, and Charlie was the guy, I'm going to be real honest, Charlie's the guy that I thought was going to struggle the most with the crackdown on substances. I'm glad he performed as well as he did last night, but Charlie Morton 100% uses grip enhancers, or he did, so it was good to see him have his best start of the season on what would be his second or third start from not being able to use the grip enhancers. He was fantastic. The curveball was snapping all night. The fastball was consistently 96, 97. And he kind of cut ties with the cutter, which was getting crushed all season long, and became a two-pitch pitcher. Oh, no. It's almost like if you have two pitches that are really, really good, and your third pitch or fourth pitch or both are not very good, you should almost ditch those two and go with the two pitches that are really, really good, that it gives you more opportunity to actually go deeper in the game. Huh, shocker, who would have figured that throwing more pitches just for the sake of throwing more pitches doesn't always work out. So good to see from Charlie, as he was almost exclusively fastball and curveball last night. There was a changeup or two that I saw. I think I saw maybe 2 cutters. But overall, it was a fantastic showing from Charlie. That's kind of what we've been waiting to see. Now, Charlie's record at 6-3, you can say, oh, well, that's not a horrible record. But last night, got his ERA down from 4.5 to 4.03. That was an excellent showing by him. Had a chance to go 8 full innings. Didn't quite get there. Would have been the first time since Mike Foltynewicz. But overall, very happy with what I saw from Charlie. If that can be a kind of a consistent, it's not going to be that every time out, but if you can get 6 innings of what he did last night consistently, you feel really good. And anytime you're worried about your bullpen, it's nice when you don't have to use them very much. Only had to use Luke Jackson for 1 batter and then had Will Smith pitch a clean 9th. And Will Smith comes through. Luke Jackson comes through. No hits allowed by the bullpen. No walks. 2 or 4 clean outs from the bullpen was exactly what you wanted to see, particularly knowing that you don't really have a day off for a little bit. You got another game today. But it was nice to see. It's nice to see when the Braves have such a tricky bullpen that they don't have to go to the bullpen very much. Today, I'm looking for Max Fried to kind of do the same. And he's had some struggles this year with his 4.62 ERA. Now, he's been really, really good since coming off the IL. That's one of the things that a lot of people seem to be ignoring or forgetting when you're looking at Max Fried's numbers. You kind of have to take them in stride. His first two or three starts before he went on the IL, absolutely atrocious. That one-inning outing against Washington where they posted like eight runs on him in an inning and a third or something like that. Yeah, that's going to hurt the ERA quite a bit. But the strikeouts are working fairly good for him. 50 and two-thirds innings, 49 Ks. I still like to see those go up because I do believe Max can be a double-digit K for nine guy. But 18 walks, that's a little bit higher than what I was hoping to see. The whip at 144, that's not typical Max Fried. But now that he's come back off the IL, you're starting to see him get that weak contact. You're starting to see him generate kind of easy plays again. That's what you're looking to see. On the other side for the Cardinals, it'll be Carlos Martinez going today. Carlos Martinez is not a very good pitcher. 22 walks in 65 innings. That's not, you know, for him, that's not bad, but he's only got 44 Ks, which is not typical of Carlos Martinez when he was in the back end of bullpens. 5.82 ERA in the season for him. He should probably be back in the pen. But that's a them problem, not an us problem. And for the Braves, name of the game is just kind of keep it rolling. You don't have to score 18 runs every game to win, especially if you can get decent depth out of your starters and your bullpen can kind of remember how to actually play baseball. This was very much needed because this last series, this two-game set against Boston, was a nightmare. And it was a nightmare for multiple reasons. It was a nightmare for basically everybody but the offense. And it was a nightmare for the managers, a nightmare for the front office. It was a nightmare for literally everything post-game. There was a lot of bad things happening in that series. We're going to talk about those coming up next after our first break. So somehow the Braves managed to score a lot of runs and still lose in what was the most pitiful outings for the bullpen that I've seen in a very long time. It just kind of formed to a crescendo. Luckily, the Braves get the win yesterday. You don't want to see them continue to drop in games. Last night, Braves are able to get a little bit of a collective breath because everything does feel better when you're winning. Unfortunately, there are a lot of things that we need to talk about today that don't really pertain to the or that don't pertain to the win last night, that kind of pertain to how this season as a whole is going, some things that need to change very, very quickly. What are those things? Don't worry, I am going to tell you coming up next, right here on Locked On Braves. Today's episode of Locked On Braves is brought to you in part by Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long cut, or pouches that give you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz you're used to without tobacco. Available in 9 flavors, Fully Loaded Chew is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine available. It's the only moist nicotine pouch on the market. All other nicotine pouches are dry white pouches. Nothing dips, spits, and packs like Fully Loaded. Fully Loaded Chew is offering Locked On Braves listeners a very special offer. Right now, you can try a can for just $1. That's right, just one single solitary dollar. All you got to do is go to fullyloadedchew.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, just $1 and free shipping if you use that code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, at checkout. The next time you go for a dip, make it Fully Loaded with Fully Loaded Chew at fullyloadedchew.com. Welcome back to the show, everybody. So, we got to talk about the good things that happened last night in the first segment. In the second segment, I'm gonna go ahead and apologize in advance about things aren't gonna get quite as nice in the second segment here. We're gonna have to talk about some things that really do need to be discussed, some things that need to change with a quickness, and some things that if you're on any Braves social media, you follow post games at all. You've definitely heard about it. If you listen to sports talk media here in Atlanta, you for sure heard about this. Before we get quite into that, I do want to give a special shout out. The Braves pitchers did not walk a batter yesterday. That's the first time I can recall them not walking anybody. And when that happens, usually good things are going to happen to you as a unit. Freddie Freeman starting to really get things going now. His average is creeping up towards that 250 mark. And those balls that he was hitting before that were hitting right at people, he's starting to find some holes. 2-for-4 last night, really kind of starting to get going here. This homestand has been very good to him. And overall for the offense, the crackdowns might on the substances could end up hurting a lot of the Braves pitchers. It hasn't yet, but it could end up in the long run. But the offense, this should start really helping this offense as you know, you should be a little bit more consistent. Shouldn't be quite as live or die on the home run ball. You're going to see some more balls start falling in that weren't falling before. You're going to see some more contact from some of the guys who weren't making quite as much, which is nice because that's what the offense needs to do. This is a team that even if you get your pitching sorted out, I don't think at any point you'd say that the pitching is going to be a real strength of this club, barring any larger moves. But that's okay. This is a team that has the offensive firepower. And you heard Jeff Francoeur talking about this on the broadcast last night. This is a team that has the offensive capability to actually rely on their offense. They can be a more offensively focused team. They can score more runs. The pitching doesn't have to be elite. Now, when you get to the postseason, that's a different story. But you have to get to the postseason to worry about the postseason. For the Braves, right now, if your pitchers can kind of go out there and just kind of hold serve and not be horrible, the offense is good enough to where they can carry this team for a while. And that can propel the Braves to a run. It's one of these things that I've been saying. The Braves haven't gone on a run, really, a sustained run this year. This team is fully capable of doing that. Maybe with the crackdown on the substances, we'll see it happen. Because over the past four or five games, the offense has been fantastic. Now, I say the last four or five games. The problem with that is that two-game set, and I've said before, I don't like calling two-game sets a series. To me, it doesn't really count. I mean, it's just two games. To me, I don't count that as an actual I don't count that as a series. But that was about the worst two-game stretch that you could have possibly imagined for the Braves this year, as they posted up 8 runs in consecutive games and lost both games. That is not supposed to happen in Major League Baseball. I mean, just looking at what they did against Boston, they tore up Boston's pitching. Now, Boston has a really good lineup. They do. The issue is there were a lot of mistakes made by nearly everybody in the Braves system. Like, everywhere that you turn, pitching, bullpen, everywhere but offense, really. And there were a lot of base running blunders. There was a ton of managerial garbage plays. And then you had what boiled over after the game in the post game on Wednesday, which was completely inexcusable. And that was where Brian Snicker, after a game in which your offense put up 8 runs and your pitchers, again, for the second day in a row, allowed 10 runs, where you had, let's see, Ian Anderson went 4 innings, gave up 4 runs. Kyle Muller, for some inexplicable reason, who got his debut, by the way, congratulations to Kyle Muller. But Brian Snicker, who's wanting to point out everybody's mistakes other than his own, brought in a rookie left-hander to make his debut against the literal heart of the Boston lineup, which went righty, righty, lefty. And the three that he got to face to start were J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, and Rafael Devers. Literally the worst three in that lineup you could have picked for Mueller to have to make his debut against, and Brian Snicker did it in what was a very close game at the time. I mean, it was a horrible, ridiculously stupid decision, and you get to the post game, and preface this by saying, if you didn't see that game, you've definitely heard about it because you've heard about the post game, but Ronald Acuña Jr. made a base-running blunder. He tried to stretch a double into a triple, and by the way, yes, Ron Washington was waving him. Now, you can say that maybe Ronald wasn't paying attention to Ron Washington because Ronald has a tendency to put his head down when he runs, but the ball is to right center. Acuña is not seeing that once he rounds second. He's looking at Wash, who windmilled him. Now, you can say that Wash maybe threw up the stop sign afterwards and Ronald had already put his head down and not seen it. Whatever, you can say that at that point in the game, Ronald representing the tying run in the bottom of the ninth with Freddie Freeman coming up to the dish, or Freddie being the tying run, that Ronald's run, quote-unquote, didn't really mean much. I don't find that to be true, especially with no grip substances. The chance of a wild pitch is very, very likely. I'm not going to fault players for being aggressive. Was it smart? No. Is it something you want to do all the time? No. But in that particular game where your pitching staff couldn't do anything, and in a season in which, despite the fact that Freddie has done very well this homestand, his last 5 or 6 games or so has been a very bad season for Freddie, Ronald has essentially been one of the only constants on the team, and Ronald is one of the fastest players in Major League Baseball. Yes, I'd rather him be more aggressive than less. It's not that long ago that people were whining and complaining that he doesn't hustle, and now everybody's wanting to get pissy that he was hustling. To me, that's just idiotic. Now, it is possible to say that that was a bad play without calling Ronald Acuña Jr. stupid, or saying that Ronald Acuña Jr. cost your team the game. Or, more importantly, if you want to say that, you can say that, but you dang sure better be consistent. And that is Brian Snicker's issue when it comes to Ronald Acuña Jr. He is not consistent in the way he speaks about Ronald Acuña and his mistakes as he is with everybody else on the team. And you see a lot of people on social media calling this evidence of Brian Snicker being racist. And I'm not going to go that far. To me, that's a lazy take. That just means that the people that are saying that are the people that are always looking for that, and the same people that think that the name Braves is racist. Those are people that are looking to find racism where there is none. They're looking to manufacture racism. And that, to me, that is not something that I'm going to ever deal in on this show, because it's not a because Ronald is brown thing. That's not what it is, because you don't hear him speak that. You don't hear Snicker speak this way when Ozzie makes a mistake. You don't hear him speak this way when Ender rolls over to second or rolls into a double play after you pinch hit him in a key spot. You didn't hear him really talking about Marcell Ozuna this way. You heard him talk about one time about the selfie thing, but he said it without being upset. You don't hear him speak this way about William Contreras or anybody else. It's literally just Ronald Acuña. And the issue is, you had Dansby Swanson about a month ago make almost the exact same blunder. Only Dansby's was a little bit worse, okay? We can go ahead and we can admit that. Ronald's play was a bad play. It was not smart. It was also in the heat of the moment as he's rounding second. Dansby tried to straight steal third. I don't know if Dansby has green lights for third, but I can guarantee you it was not a called steal. I guarantee you Dansby thought he saw something and tried to steal it on his own. With Ery Adrianza at the plate, who's done a very good job in pinch hitting situations of getting on base. There was one out in the inning. And oh, by the way, Ronald Acuña Jr. just so happened to pop a home run the very next inning leading off. You had Ronald Acuña Jr. So you can say, oh, Ronald should have known better with the MVP coming up behind the plate. Well, Dansby should have known better with Ronald Acuña guaranteed to get in that bat in that inning too. That was a horrible blunder, and Dansby was thrown up by a mile trying to steal. It was a dumb play. But when it got to the post game and they asked about it, it was, yeah, well, that's just a guy just trying to make a play. Can't really fault him. He was trying to make a play. And you could say the situations are different where, oh, well, the Braves. No, the situations really weren't different. The Braves have been bad all season. They've been inconsistent all season. They've been shooting themselves in the foot all season. That is the issue to me, is that if you're going to kind of try to deflect from your own mistakes, and Snicker made quite a few of them in that game. You don't get to 10-8 without making some mistakes. He tried to deflect off of his own by just hammering Ronald Acuña. And this is a theme with Brian Snicker. We've seen this happen more than once. And everybody can point to what he did when Jose Urania threw at Ronald Acuña. And props to him on that. That was also 2018. And also after that, he quit doing that. He also, later in that season, called Ronald Acuña out in front of the media, and then we saw Ronald Acuña get thrown at multiple times in the Cardinals' loss. They all tried to blame Ronald Acuña for losing a game in which he was the only reason why they scored runs and were even close, for admiring a single that should have been a double or should have been a triple, as if you would want him to stretch a double into a triple with no outs. If he'd just been a third, when it wouldn't have mattered, because what happened actually immediately following that would have still left him hung out to dry. Which is a fancy way of saying the rest of the team let Ronald down in that series. Since that moment, Snicker does this all the time when it comes to Acuña making a mistake. Now, Ronald Acuña is a very, very aggressive baseball player. He will make some bad decisions. He will make some questionable decisions. But with his talent level, you should, and I say should, overlook those, or, you know, maybe say, yeah, we'll talk about that in the clubhouse, because he's also going to do things like score from second base on an infield ground ball, on a routine play. He'll score from second base. He's done that twice this season. That is what you get with Ronald Acuña. That is why you don't want to stifle him, because more often than not, it's going to work out in your favor. And if you're a manager and your whole thing is being a player's manager and having your players' backs, throwing the best player that your team has seen since at least Chipper Jones, and quite frankly, Acuña has more skills than Chipper. I'm not going to say that he's a better player than Chipper right now, but he's got more natural talent, more actual skills across the board, more ways he can affect the ballgame than Chipper ever could have. That's just idiotic managing, and it's endemic of what Brian Snicker has been for a while now. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. I ran out of time in this segment, giving him a little bit too much praise. Don't worry, we're going to talk about this in the third segment, because this is a problem. This is a problem that needs to be addressed, and needs to be addressed immediately. This is something that needs to nip in the bud right now, or the consequences could be very, very dire for the Atlanta Braves. What are those consequences? You guys can probably guess them, but we're going to talk about them coming up next, right here on Locked On Braves. Today's episode of Locked On Braves is also brought to you by Wealthfront. Stocks, memes, rocket ships, day trading can be a lot of fun, but if you want to grow your long-term wealth and make it to the moon, you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today, not tomorrow, today. Decades of data shows that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every single year. In fact, only 1% of day traders actually beat the market. The odds are not in your favor if that's what you're doing or if you're going it alone, so team up with Wealthfront instead. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it very easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences that you yourself control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes that you pay as you invest. For the average client, the tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low annual 0.25% advisory fee. Best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free just by going to Wealthfront.com/LockedOnMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to Wealthfront.com/LockedOnMLB. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/LockedOnMLB to start growing your savings. Go to Wealthfront.com/LockedOnMLB and get started today. Today's episode is also brought to you by Built Bar. Who's the greatest tasting protein bar in the land? It's Built Bar. I've told you this all the time because it's true. Built Bars are amazing. Perfect textures, fantastic flavors, crazy flavors that you do not expect to see from protein bars. Well, don't take my word for it. I tell you guys this every week. Don't take my word for it. Go to BuiltBar.com, buy you a box, pick out some of the delicious flavors. There's like 32. It's like Baskin Robbins, but for protein bars. If you don't like eating a heavier breakfast, Built Bars are perfect for that. If you want something packed with protein that's not going to weigh you down, that's not going to taste like the bottom of your shoe, Built Bars are perfect for that. Pre and post workout, meal replacement, midnight snack, whatever the case is, Built Bar is the perfect thing for that time period. Just go to BuiltBar.com, try them out for yourself, use the promo code LOCKEDON15, you're going to get a nice little surprise on shipping. Go to BuiltBar.com, try the revolution in protein bars, and you will see that Built Bars are the truth. Built Bars, building a better protein bar. All right, welcome back to the final segment of today's episode of Locked On Braves. We're going to continue where we left off about why the way that Acuña or the way that Brian Snicker responds to Ronald Acuña is so bad. And it's I don't want to make this sound like I'm just needlessly sticking up for Ronald Acuña. Like I said, his decision to try to stretch a double into a triple, it was a bad move. It was a bad decision. Even if he gets it, you're still down two, and you have to rely on everybody else to come through. There's not a huge advantage in going from second to third in that scenario. Now, there is an advantage, especially considering that Boston's pitchers weren't particularly good with their command last night. It's a decided advantage, knowing that the risk of a passed ball when your pitchers don't feel like they have a grip on the ball is significantly higher. And if you can get to within one run with one out, you feel a lot better about scoring a run rather than saying that it's going to take, you know, two, three, four hits strung together. If Acuña can get himself to third off the jump, you only have one out. Any pass ball basically is going to score him. And then all of a sudden now Freddie just has to come up with one run, or Freddie just has to get on base, and you don't have quite as much, I don't want to say quite as much pressure, but it's easier to come from one run when you can kind of steal a run in that way, when you can steal 90 feet. So I understand the thought process behind it. It's not a smart decision. It's not something you want to see him attempting all that often. And quite frankly, he should know better than to try that. He's not an idiot. This idea that Acuña is not a smart baseball player, This is something that you can take all the way back to 2018, and you can take back to certain beat writers. You guys know exactly who I'm talking about. You can take it back to the way that they tried to go after Acuna to get some sound bites, to get some clicks for their articles. Everybody is complicit in this. But the bigger issue is your manager. And here's the thing. Whether you like Brian Snicker or not, the Braves would be patently idiotic to choose an ancient manager who is horrible in-game tactically, who is horrible as far as managing his bullpen, who is horrible at figuring out simple things like when to use a particular pinch hitter. Snicker is not good at any of those things. Snicker's one redeeming quality is his clubhouse presence. And if you're going to throw, I don't know, the only star on your team or the only star that's really been performing all season long, the guy that's kept you afloat for most of this season, if you're going to throw him under the bus and treat him differently than you do everybody else, then you're going to find your way out. I'm going to side with the generational superstar who's 23 years old over my decrepit manager who can't, who still can't figure out simple things like, hey, just because you're down one run or two runs doesn't mean that you punt the game. Doesn't mean it's low leverage. As a matter of fact, it's higher leverage than when you bring somebody in when you're up four. Now, everybody's going to say, well, the bullpen's been awful anyway. That is totally obscuring the mistakes that Brian Snicker's made. And there have been a lot of them this year. And I can get over the tactical mistakes to a point. I mean, I'm going to be very frustrated at times. You know, like when he brought in Kyle Muller at the time that he brought in Kyle Muller. That's setting a kid up for failure. Kyle Muller is not a command specialist. Why would you bring him for his first action, by the way, against the literal best of Boston's order, two of which are right-handers with, by the way, Kyle Muller not having anything that breaks opposite from a righty? It's not like he just has a sinker in his arsenal that he could utilize to get some ground balls. Muller is fastball curveball. He's got a changeup too, but he's predominantly fastball curveball or fastball slider, whatever you want to call his little 88-mile-an-hour breaker. But that breaks in on a righty and predictably didn't work out well for Kyle. And then not only that, you had Kyle hit for himself, even though despite the fact that he's never batted as a big leaguer before, he's got some chops swinging the bat for a pitcher. But still, you let him hit for himself and then take him out, which is just idiotic to me. He's not Shohei Ohtani. It's patently absurd. And then you go through and you say, oh, well, I don't want to burn a pinch hitter early. Well, too bad, because now you get to the part late in the ninth inning where, oh, I don't know, maybe that pinch hit earlier on could have actually mattered, but it didn't. So you get to that point. And Snicker making bad moves is kind of a common theme with him in the bullpen. Just because they sometimes work out doesn't mean that they're the correct moves. This is just like when you're evaluating prospects. Process over results. Singular instances can work out. That doesn't mean that it was the right call to make. It just means that baseball is a funny sport. Sometimes it works out. When you consistently make the wrong moves, more often than not, you will pay for them rather than be rewarded by them. We just see them not pay off so often that we don't treat that with the same amount of reverence that we do when they actually work out. And Brian Snicker, of course, has his legion of fans that no matter what he does are going to excuse the way he acts. And this, it was called out by a lot of people. There's an article in USA Today about this, about Ronald Acuna Jr. Having to delete a cryptic Instagram post after Snicker talked about him after the game, because Snicker called it, said it was a stupid mistake, and said that you can't win games when you make stupid moves like that, specifically referring to Ronald Acuna. And again, if this were Snicker's normal MO, like if this is how Snicker normally talked about everybody, you could excuse it. But he excused Dansby Swanson away. He's had plenty of opportunities to talk about, I don't know, maybe say that, hey, you can't really win games when you score 8 runs and your bullpen gives up 6. Like, I don't know, maybe that's a little bit more contributive to the loss than, I don't know, your superstar player who performed excellently in that game. But not only that, if you disgruntle Ronald Acuna, yes, he's on a super cheap friendly deal, but if you manage to screw up Ronald Acuna in Atlanta, you deserve to be run out of here with pitchforks. And it wasn't just Acuna who was upset. Acuna's dad had to get in on it too, which lets you know, hey, you can say, oh, well, his dad is just sticking up for his son. Well, you're just sticking up for Brian Snicker, because this is, I'm not going to say the words, but here's the translations to English. This is from Ronald Acuna's dad, Ronald Acuna Sr. The same bleep as Tony La Russa. Old dumb bleep, both of them. And then, obviously, because it's what everybody is talking about, he has something to say about the way Snicker approached Dansby Swanson getting thrown out trying to steal third versus Acuna. Who's more stupid, and this is quoting him still, who's more stupid than you that every time they get to the seventh inning and three lefties come up to bat, you bring a right-hander? Oh, good point. GD, always defending the white players, you've made 1,000 stupidities, and that's why they're there in the first place. Obviously, there's some obviously that's not obviously that's a dad who's pretty angry at somebody for calling out his son who just happens to be the only person performing. But this is one of those things where you can be a Snicker fan all you want. I'm not telling you that I don't like Brian. I'm not telling you that I wish him to be gone, although there are certainly... This is where I think that Alex bears a little bit of the brunt of the blame, too, because say what you want, Snicker is Alex's guy. And Alex hasn't helped Brian this year. You can't get over the fact... that you can't just ignore the fact that Alex, when apparently there was big money crunches from Liberty Media, spent $11 million on Drew Smyly based off of 20 innings from the season before. That is something that I'm not going to stop talking about because that was a dumb decision by Alex Anthopoulos. There were numerous other pitchers you could have added for that same money. Like, the fact that you felt that you had to get Drew Smyly at $11 million that early in the offseason, I don't know who else was going to offer him $11 million, but I can't think of anybody who else was going to offer him $11 million, a triple pay raise to come in when he had 20 innings of good starting experience and every other good thing he'd ever done had been in the bullpen. And then you look and Mark Melancon was not even offered a contract because you spent $11 million on Drew Smyly. You did not bring back Mark Melancon, which there's never been any indication that Melancon would not have come back. The only indication that Melancon says he wanted to go to a team that was going to win. Well, guess what? The Braves would have been a team that would have won. They were widely expected to be a winning team in this offseason. So no, Alex doesn't get absolved of blame either. And there's a lot of people in the Fire Snicker camp that are in the Alex Anthopoulos is a God camp. And you're able to hold the philosophy that neither of those things is true, by the way. Alex has not done Brian any favors. Brian has not done himself or his team any favors. And the team hasn't done either one of those two any favors. This has been a giant cluster bleep all season long. And you finally get a chance where your offense starts performing. And you have a rough stretch where you drop 16 runs in two games and lose both games by 10-8 scores. Yeah, that's bad. But that's not on Acuna either. And this idea that... oh, well, you know, he just expects more out of Acuna because Acuna's so talented. That's garbage. You don't get to treat one person differently than the rest of your team. And I don't think Brian is racist. I think that Acuna is a very flashy, a very loud player. He's a very showy player, and that's the way that he is. That's his game. That's the way a lot of younger superstars are nowadays. That's the way baseball is going. Brian Snicker has been in baseball since before color TV. He's been in baseball for 40 years. He's been with the organization for 40 years. That's not his game. He is a more traditional guy. And when things are going well and you're winning, then sure, he can laugh and I'll be like, I'm trying to learn, you know, I'm trying to get with it, whatever. But when things aren't going well, he's going to default to who he is. The issue is that for some reason, Acuna is the only person that draws this type of ire, and that is a major problem. Acuna is the face of this team. We can talk Freddie Freeman currently is. Freddie Freeman currently is the franchise guy, and he has been after Chipper. But this, make no mistake, make no bones about it. This is Ronald Acuna. The future of the Atlanta Braves is Ronald Acuna Jr. He is, if you don't believe right now, he's at the very least a top five player in Major League Baseball. If you want to go as far as young superstar, he is the best in baseball. Whether they want to say it's Tatis or Soto or whatever, Ronald Acuna is the most talented player in Major League Baseball. Him and Shohei Ohtani are the most talented players in baseball at that young age. There is nobody more talented than him. And if you're the Braves or Alex Anthopoulos and you have to make the decision between Ronald Acuna Jr. and Brian Snicker, if Ronald Acuna comes up to Alex Anthopoulos and says, hey, you need to get rid of Snicker or I'm going to hold out and I'm not going to play for you guys anymore, what do you think is going to happen? Snicker's going to be shown the door in a quickness. And I'm not convinced that this isn't going to be Snicker's last year as a manager anyway. I don't think he's going to get fired. They're not going to fire Snicker. If anything, they'll quote-unquote promote him to a front office role where he can be like a player liaison. But this is an issue. Whenever things start getting bad for Brian, you can say, oh, he's just frustrated. Well, the problem is he's taking that frustration and he's trying to shift and deflect to Ronald Acuna instead of his own mistakes. And your beat writers don't want to talk about this with him. They don't want to ask him why he keeps making the same stupid bullpen decisions night in and night out. They don't want to call him on this and be like, hey, why was your response to Ronald different than your response to Dansby? And again, that's what leads to people calling him a racist. I don't think he's racist. I just think he's an old traditional baseball dude that doesn't like the showy play. And he knows that Acuna is the most talented player on the club. So when things are going well, you're going to be fine. It's just like the Bobby Cox and Andrew Jones thing. If that's the way that you're flashy like that, and you're an anti-flashy type of guy, you're going to get more frustrated when your flashy player makes a boneheaded play. And Acuña did make a boneheaded play. I can't stress that enough. It was a bonehead move. But it wasn't the reason that you lost. The reason that you lost is because you brought in a rookie to face the best part of their lineup that also happened to be right-handed, with the exception of Devers. The reason that you lost is every number that you called in the bullpen was the wrong number. The fact that your bullpen gave up 6 runs, and you couldn't win a game that you couldn't win either game that you scored 8 runs in. That's not Acuña's fault. That's not any of the position players' fault. That's not the offense's fault at all. Your offense did everything they could, coming back time and time again in that game, only to see your staff go out there and immediately give up the lead. That's a Brian Snicker issue, and I'm guessing Alex might have a talk with him. If he doesn't, he definitely should, because that's something the Braves need to nip in the bud immediately. You cannot have your decrepit old manager alienating the one superstar thing that you have going on right now. That is a bad look. That is a bad look for players currently on the team. That is a bad look for Ronald Acuña. That is a bad look for free agents. You cannot have that. That is unacceptable, and that needs to change immediately. As a matter of fact, Brian needs to apologize for that in a postgame. I don't care who asks it of him. I don't care if anybody asks it of him. Snicker should come out and be like, hey, you know what? I was wrong to say that. I was wrong to insinuate that that was a bad play by Ronald Acuña. And by the way, all the beat writers that kind of started this narrative that Ronald is not a smart baseball player, which, by the way, that's at the crux of this issue. That's the reason why Dansby gets a pass and Ronald doesn't, because Dansby is viewed as being a quote-unquote high IQ ball player, and Ronald is viewed as a low IQ ball player who just is super aggressive and super talented but doesn't necessarily make the smartest decisions. That is a product of your beat writers in 2018. That is 100% what that is, and that is Chip Carey as well, who had to throw some shade at Ronald Acuña last night because Chip Carey can't think for himself and doesn't know what he's watching, so he ends up just going with whatever the popular notion at the time is. And if Snicker said something, well then, by golly, that's what Chip has to say too. It's a problem, and that's something the Braves need to address immediately. All right, well, hopefully we're talking next week. We can have a few more wins to show for it. We can kind of move on from this. I'm still hoping that we'll hear an apology from Brian Snicker. It needs to be done. He needs to apologize to Acuña in public. I know he's probably apologized to him behind closed doors, but if you're going to call him out in public, you need to apologize to him in public. You need to apologize to everybody, or you need to make certain public to everybody, hey, this was my bad. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have singled him out more than I single out everybody else. Snicker's the one that needs to do damage control. Nobody else right now. Hopefully we'll see that happen. Hopefully we come back next week. Then Braves are able to start a little bit of a roll here, and we'll see the offense really take flight. You know me. I'm always rooting for Braves wins. I know you guys are too. Hopefully it'll be nicer, Dylan, next week. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll be back again on Monday right here on Locked On Braves.